Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
I had an interview for the radio program that we do with the new chairman of the board at Promise Keepers. And keep your ear to the ground regarding that, because God's doing some exciting things, some fresh things with Promise Keepers. The new chairman of the board has a book out in which he talks about, you know, what does the Bible say about biblical manhood? Well, that's a worthy question. So we had a great conversation. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And one of the things that was a part of that conversation was the epidemic of fatherlessness in our country. It is not just a static problem. It is a worsening problem. It is getting exponentially worse because kids who grow up without fathers tend to not know how to be fathers, which results in more children growing up who aren't well fathered. They're not taken care of as they should be. So this is a special topical departure from our series in John, and it's aimed at fathers. I pray that God will use it to speak to all our hearts, because it's not just men who need to understand this. If you don't think that fatherlessness impacts women, impacts children, impacts your neighbors, impacts our politic as a country, then you're not paying attention. You haven't really thought about this or prayed about it. This impacts all of us. So, three main points. There's so much I wanted to say. It's like, well, maybe we ought to do about a 10-part series on this. But I prayed about that, and I felt like there were three main points that he wanted me to share with you this morning. Point number one, if you're a father, you have a gift. You have a gift. Psalm 127, verse 3, and you ought to read the verses that follow too, but Psalm 127, 3 says, "Consider your children a gift from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward." That is diametrically opposed to the general attitude that is pervasive in our culture today. Children are a gift from the Lord. A gift from the Lord. If that really were embraced by our culture, we wouldn't have an abortion issue. We wouldn't have countries around us, other nations, that are being encouraged by our country and powerful forces in our country to abort their children. We wouldn't have an attitude toward children that says, you know, they're a huge expense. Guess what? I know. Okay? I would be totally without a mortgage if God hadn't told us when our youngest one went off to college that he had some more for us. We were not sitting there at the house getting depressed and saying, you know, don't you miss the pitter-patter of little feet? Okay? In fact, my elderly widowed mother was living with us at that point, and she had little feet, and she kind of pitter-pattered on our deck out in front of the house. So we didn't miss the pitter-patter of little feet at all. We had mom. But we thought, this is great because we've got somebody here helping take care of mom. And we were invited to go overseas in order to do ministry with some orphanages over there. And while we were doing that, it was like we wanted to bring them all home. And God was preparing us for the fact that he had some more children for us. But in order to make that work, we had to refinance the house and add to it. And one of the things I was happy to tell my adopted children, which my biological children, I think, already knew, and that is, I wouldn't trade you for $10 million. A billion, we'd have to talk, but... No, I mean, no amount of money. Jesus says, what do you gain if you gain the world? What does it profit a man if he gains the world and loses his soul? One human life is worth more than any amount of money. Money's just not an issue compared to the value of a human being. We wouldn't have the abortion issue. We wouldn't have the approach to education that dominates our culture, which is that it is more and more important to many people in our culture, not everybody, thank God, but to many people in our culture, we've got to have the schools going year-round. We've got to have schools starting earlier and running later and activities for the kids in the afternoon. And people are trying to figure out what are they going to do in order to occupy their kids at night and on the weekends. The idea is not just we want to enrich our children's lives and make sure that they're better educated, because that ain't working. The idea is we want somebody else to watch our kids as much as possible, because our kids are not only a huge expense, they're a huge inconvenience. Okay? So we got to get them out. And so I see posts online every year. Oh, thank God, school's about to start again. And I'm thinking, I'm so sorry for your child. You have a gift if you have a child. If you are a father, you have a gift. And if you don't see your child as a gift, it's not the child that's at fault. It's your attitude, which is refusing to believe what God says about our kids. They're a gift. It's a gift. Well, if it's a gift, why is it so expensive? Well, maybe so that you can learn to trust God for the money. You ever think of that? Maybe so that you will value people over mammon. How much better would our society be if that were the case? Not just with regard to children, but how we see our neighbor. What is your attitude? I'm not accusing anybody in this room. I don't know your hearts. But I do know God's heart on this. He says, consider your children a gift from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. So thank him for your child. Second point, you not only have a gift, you have a calling. You have a calling from God. I was really trying to figure out what God's will is for my life. Well, if you're a father, let me tell you what God's will is for your life. Look in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Now, this is to fathers. Fathers, don't stir up anger in your children, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Two words there, training and instruction. My Greek is terrible, but as best I can puzzle it out, paideia and noutheo. The first word is translated in the King James, nurture. In the more literal translations that are out there today, saying that King James wasn't literal enough, no, I'm saying we don't speak Old English. They had a better sense of nuance than we do. The first word is often translated by ESV, NAS, etc., discipline. Discipline. The reason that it's sometimes not translated that way in Ephesians is because it means more than just punishing your kids, okay? The idea of discipline, hence the King James nurture, is basically shaping them, okay? If a child needs to be punished for something, they need to be punished. That's an aspect of discipline. But the idea is that you are training the child not to keep needing to be punished. You're trying to get them to internalize discipline so that they don't have to receive external discipline in an ongoing way. You're trying to cultivate things like self-discipline, self-control. Got it? So I'll give you an example of how this works while it's very quiet in here. Okay? You need to learn to recognize the different cries of a young child. Sometimes a child is crying just because they want attention. Sometimes a child is crying because they're frustrated. But if a child screams defiantly, that is something that needs to be addressed immediately and strongly. The reason is the child is still figuring out who's in charge of the world. Okay? They have discovered that they can do things that result in a change in the behavior of other people around them. One of the things they can do, they have a limited array of options, but one of the things they can do is to scream because that generally elicits a response from the giants who live in the house. Okay? This is a way that I can control you. You're trying to teach obedience and end defiance. Okay? You don't spank kids because they forget something. You don't spank kids because you didn't like something. You don't spank kids because they did something that you've never told them not to do. And it's amazing how inventive children are. They will do things that you never thought to tell them not to do. Right? And when they do, a good way of responding is to say, "Oh, honey, I am so sorry. I've never told you not to do that. Look me in the eye and let me tell you, don't ever do that again. Do you understand?" Okay. Now, from that point on, it's not an educational process. It is teaching the child to obey. That is a four-letter word that all parents need to know and use. Okay? There are a bunch of other four-letter words, not good. Okay? But obey is an important thing to teach your children. Obey. One of the greatest gifts that you owe your children is to teach them that they're not in charge. And so that's why the discipline thing needs to come back to obedience. Now, it is very important if you want to teach obedience to your kids that you teach them using rules that are few and clear and firm. The rules need to be few. Don't have a ton of rules for your kids. That's another reason you want to make the issue obedience. All they've got to remember is do what the big folks say. Okay? Obey. 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 The rules need to be few. They need to be clear. Don't have your kids growing up in an emotional minefield. Okay? Everything was going fine. Then all of a sudden I did this and boom, there was an explosion. Don't do that. Don't let your kids be wondering, is it okay to do this? If they want to know, is it okay to do this, what should they do? Ask. And if you have a loving relationship where you pay attention to your kids and give them lots of affirmation, they're going to be more inclined to be able to say, is it okay to do this? Can I do this? Mother, may I? So, few, clear, they know where the boundaries are, and firm. If you say, no, you may not, it's not open for negotiation. But I was thinking, if I'm a, honey, I've already answered your question. But I thought, you do not want to continue to argue with me. I've already told you no. That's it. You just gave your child a gift. James Dobson wisely said that little children are like night watchmen. A night watchman goes along checking every door that's supposed to be locked, hoping to find the doors locked. Okay? Kids will test whatever boundaries you give them. If you say, don't do this, they'll try it. That's their job. Your job is to make sure the door's locked. Because what that then gives the child is a sense of security. They know where the boundaries are. They know that if you say something, you mean it. And that also helps the child to know that if you say, I love you, you mean it. Your word should be solid. So if you say no, it's no. If you say yes, it's yes. Jesus said something about that. So, you have a calling. Your calling is to rear your children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. The instruction part means shaping the way they think. And it involves verbal instruction. You're talking to them. Do you know that some kids have very little verbal exchange with their parents? Because the parents are just tired or distracted, or they think kids don't understand. You can talk to pre-verbal preschoolers. You know that? Because they are soaking it in. You want to teach them about the nature of the universe, that there is a God and they're not it, and you're not either. Your job is to be pointing them to Him. Your job is to work yourself out of a job. Please catch that. Your job is to work yourself out of a job. You want your kids to grow up needing you less and less, and this brings up another important point. You start out with small, tight boundaries, and as they get older and develop self-control and self-discipline and a sense of right and wrong, you can increasingly relax the boundaries so that they can be further out of your sight and doing more things and experimenting with stuff. And it's okay because they've learned these basics from you. And now as they're getting older, they're becoming more and more independent, less and less dependent on you. That's what you want. If you think that suddenly at age 4 or at age 9, you're going to be able to just rein them in, you're going to be contacting me or someone else and saying, I don't understand what's wrong with my child. We've given him everything he wanted. And, you know, we just tried to cultivate his natural tendencies and so on. You're not supposed to cultivate a child's natural tendencies. You're supposed to drive foolishness from him. That's what the Bible says. Because do you know what's in your child's heart? Sin. Just like yours. Just like mine. Built into the human heart is this thing called sin. Rebellion. I want to be my own boss. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. You tell me not to do something, I'm going to do it. You got a garden full of food. You can eat the fruit of any of the trees in the garden except this one right here. Don't eat the fruit from that tree. The day you eat the fruit from that tree, you will die. How hard is that? Okay? You can eat the fruit of that tree, that tree, that tree, that tree, that tree, that tree, that tree. Just don't eat the fruit of this tree. But that one looks good. Why do we always zero in on what we can't have? That's part of the attraction of porn, which is a deadly epidemic in our country and in our churches. But it's the forbidden. It's what I don't have. It's what I can't have. That's what I want. That is the natural inclination of the human heart ever since the fall. And as parents, we have a responsibility to try and give our kids another mindset, to admonish them, to instruct them. Now here's the main point number 3, okay? Point number 1, you have a gift. Point number 2, you have a calling. Point number 3, you're not alone. Whether you're a mom, a dad, a child, please understand this. You are not alone. In 2 Corinthians 4:7, Paul says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels in order to make it clear that the power belongs to God. Let me tell you something. You and I can't do this on our own. We can't be the kind of fathers, the kind of mothers, the kind of children that God calls us to be in our own strength. We need the Lord. So let me say a couple of things about the fact you're not on your own. Number 1, and this is true for all of us, you can't give away what you don't have. It's an important lesson in life. You can't give away what you don't have. If you want your children to have a relationship, a loving, obedient relationship with the Lord, you need to have a loving, obedient relationship with the Lord. One of the things we see in the New Testament is that if you want to be in authority, you've got to be under authority. Jesus marveled at the faith of the centurion who said to him, "I too am a man under authority. I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to this one, come, and he comes." Jesus said, this guy gets it. The centurion didn't say, "I too am a man in authority." The reason the centurion had authority is because he was under authority. The reason why parents have authority is when they're under authority. The reason why you and I are able to do what God calls us to do is not our power, it is His power at work in us. And we need to approach the task of parenthood and all of life in utter dependence on Him. So I will say again, your job is to point them to Him, but you can't give what you don't have. Do you know Him as your Father? Are you walking in obedience to His commands? Are you seeking to please Him? Because that is what it's all about. So, you're not alone. But therefore, one of your greatest necessities and greatest joys is to pray for your children. In Hebrews, the passage that we read, it says, they disciplined us, talking about earthly fathers, disciplined us for a short time as they thought best. My wife and I raised 7 kids. We got the second crop when the youngest of our biological children went off to college. Now, our youngest child is a married man of age 25. And when he comes in the house, I say, all right, I just want to remind you, this is my house, my rules, and you're going to obey me. You think? No. We give him a hug and a kiss, and he goes for the pantry and gets pistachios, which is fine. That's not against the rules, and he doesn't have to ask anymore. It's all good, all right? But in other words, my kids are grown now, so my job's over. I don't have anything else. No other responsibility for those kids. Yes, I do have responsibility for those kids. And the number one thing that I need to do is to pray for them. Pray for them. And you better believe we do that. Because we love them. We consider them a gift from the Lord. Each one. A gift from the Lord. Now, if I decide after my kids are grown, you know, the kids are pretty much, I mean, the youngest is 25. That's a quarter of a century. He's pretty much on his way. I can just turn my back on him, and I'm not going to be so careful about following the Lord anymore. I wasn't just doing it for my kids. The reason I need to follow the Lord is for the Lord. I want to please Him. Being a parent was a temporary assignment in terms of the things I had to do. Now, my relationship with my Father in heaven is more precious, not less. I now have more time to read His Word, not less. I now have more time to spend in prayer, not less. On this Father's Day, let me tell you something. However imperfectly you were parented, and however imperfectly you may have parented someone else, the most important relationship you're ever, ever going to have is the one that's going to last forever. And that's your relationship with God. Whatever your childhood was or is, there is a Father who's perfect and whose love for you is perfect.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.com. pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.